shining so bright, reaching up to the sky, and it's open wide, your electric fight.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets, and this one is an episode like no other. First of all, it is coming out on a Thursday. Second of all, it is the second episode of the week. We had some people tell us what they think we should name this episode, because it's kind of going to be like a curveball every episode, and the best one I've seen so far is More Than Money. As you know, our Monday episode will be Trading Secrets, but that's what's leading the charge. So if you think there's a better name, go give us 5 stars. Let us know what that name should be. But this is exciting because I am in the hot seat. And who puts me in the hot seat better than the one and only Corporate Natalie? And the answer, sorry, David, if you're listening to this, the answer is no one. It's Corporate Natalie. So I have Corporate Natalie here. And of course, Natalie, we talked about it. My book came out on Tuesday of this week, Talk Money to Me. So here's what I'm going to do. You got the book early. You know the drill. I'm in the hot seat. You can fire away any question you got. We're going to keep this to like 30, 35 minutes. And literally the floor is yours. And I know there's probably no one in the world that loves when the floor is theirs with some fucking power and a red hot mic than Corporate Natalie. So I'm turning to you and welcome to what we're calling right now, More Than Money.
More Than Money. Jason, thank you for having me. I feel like I should have done the intro if this is all about you, but I'm so happy to be here and congrats on the book launch.
Wait a second. I think you're right. So you guys heard my little intro. Come on the spot. Give me an intro unless you got one prepared. Do you have one prepared?
I mean, you know, talk money to me. That's why I'm here, right? All about finances with your partner. I think we'll get into relationships on this podcast. You'll be on the hot seat a little bit there. We want the summary, the quick and dirty for why people should buy this book. And I know you've just been on such a huge PR tour. We want the nitty gritty. How's the travel? Where are you going? What's been your most exciting interview? Just tell us all. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I like this because a lot of those interviews, you know, like especially like, you know, the TV ones, you have like 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So you have to bring like your high level selling points, which is really important, but you don't get to have more like long form conversations. So the nitty gritty, the ins and outs, you fire away. And I don't know where you want to start, but I'll let you take it here.
This is good. Let's start easy. Where are you in the world? What are you doing right now?
Okay. So
I see you drinking wine. Like no one told me to bring booze.
Oh, well, it is 5 o'clock here. And, you know, whenever we're trading secrets, I feel like booze has got to be included, but unless it's the morning shift, of course. But I was in New York this morning. It's Monday, April 1st when we're recording this, and we had Good Morning America today. So it was awesome. It was like truly an honor. We got the Good Morning America morning spot and then the GMA 3 spot. And I took the train from New York to here. I'm in DC because I'm on a book tour with Capital One, and we're doing the book tour at their Capital One cafes. And this is the 6th of our 8 stops with Capital One. So tonight we'll be in DC. We have Philly. This comes out Thursday. So Philly's April 4th, and then Boston's April 9th. And then we're doing a Trading Secrets live show in Charlotte, April 5th. So that's where I am today. And that's where I'm going in the next little bit here.
Are you exhausted? Do you like the travel?
I love it. It's weird because I feel good, but my body is telling me otherwise. I have had, Natalie, I haven't had a sty since fucking 2018. And I got 2 styes at the perfect time for the book tour and all this press and this TV stuff, both under my lids. Now, one is pretty much gone. This other motherfucker has been here for 3 weeks and it's getting worse. So I have to like go get it lanced off, they're saying. Have you ever had a sty in your life?
No, Jason, one of my content pillars is my sty. I've had it for like over a year. I still have a sty right now. It hasn't gone away.
Wait, and let's like put our styes, you see mine?
No, yours is worse for sure. Mine's like way smaller, but if I have like all my makeup off, you can see it.
What, you got to get that shit out of there.
No, but like because we're on camera, don't get it lanced. You're bruised for like weeks. Don't do that now at the height of it all.
You know, see, someone told me you would be bruised for like, they're like, you'll be bruised for like maybe a day and it's gone.
No, I mean, there's just such a risk. I mean, ask, maybe you have some special doctor, but it's too hard when you're on tour. I feel like that's too high risk.
Wait, I'm sitting here complaining for a sty for 3 weeks. You had one for a whole year. Like, do you have a name for your sty at this point?
Like, honestly, it's terrifying. And it's just, it doesn't go away. And like, don't ask me for advice. Like,
do you have a name for your sty?
I don't have a name for my sty, but like leaving this podcast, I'm going to think on it for sure. Do you have a name for yours?
Yeah, being there 3 weeks? Billy the Bastard.
Billy the Bastard. Love it. Okay. Amazing. Let's talk about this whole like PR, this tour, this book tour. Do you ever pay for PR? Are you PR trained? We hear these things like in the industry. Like give us the quick and dirty. Do you just get invited to these things? Do you have a PR firm? Like tell us everything.
Okay. So last time I had a PR firm that I hired was for the last book. That was in 2022. It was $7,000 a month to work with them. I found that we weren't moving the needle at all. They were very business focused and they didn't have any really understanding of this whole pop culture space. I then hired Juliana Martin to do quick work for me last second when she just opened up her boutique. And she was like, listen, Jason, since you know you've been good to me and I know you'll be good to me and vice versa, she gave me a discount. So I got her expertise at a discounted rate. And then we started moving PR in a really good direction. Juliana, shout out to her. She made Forbes 30 under 30 with her boutique firm and has crushed it. So I highly endorse her. This time around, we had worked with HarperCollins to do a blend where they actually would contribute towards our PR. So they contributed, we contributed, and we use someone that they're very familiar with under the umbrella and have had success in. We have seen them do really good work. They've actually worked with Your Rich BFF before. The name of them is Persona PR. So Persona gave us an introductory discount price that was less than what we paid last year at this time. And they are knocking the ball out of the park, like absolutely killing it. So I also think though, the last topic was career navigation. This is like love and dating. And I think people right now are struggling with both of those in a big way. Like post pandemic, we're introduced to all these new things that are finally being like talked about in so many weird ways, like all the red flags. Yeah. We have so much exposure on social media of dating and all these things. We're now hearing more money topics, but people can't afford a home. Like there's crazy shit happening in both those worlds. And no one at this point has collided them the way I have, I think, with this book. So I think that's what's creating so much press around it. And on Tuesday, we'll be at Watch What Happens Live. So when you could touch love, money, and dating, it opens up so much more PR-wise.
Totally. I know you went on Girls Gotta Eat. You've been doing kind of the dating podcast round as well, which is awesome. Can we talk about like some of your tips on bringing up this money conversation? I know you love to say, if you're talking about sex, let's talk about checks. Love it. Very catchy. How do you bring up money on a first date? Because I think it's very hard when you're meeting someone new. Like, is that something you should be talking about when you're first meeting someone? And if so, why?
Okay, this is a really good question. And then we'll get into maybe later down the road, because we did do media training. I forgot to answer that. And I'll tell you a little bit about some of the meeting training they gave me. So remember that and we'll come back to it because I don't want to forget this. But to me, I think we always hear like money and everyone instantly has whatever stigma based on where they grew up and the relationship their parents had with money and how that worked in their world. But most of us kind of run from it and we don't jump into it. I think the easiest thing to do is like start to have fun with the money conversations. And I think there's a million questions you could ask on a first date that you could have fun with it. Like, just like if you had to describe, oh, let's do it. Let's do it. I know, we're not on a date here. It's a podcast, Natalie. But if you had to describe your relationship with money in 3 words, give me 3 words. What are the 3 words that come to mind?
Comfortable. Gosh, I wasn't expecting to answer a single question. Luxury. That's a horrible one to say.
I think it's a good one to say. Cause I know that like just in that conversation, I hear that money is something that you rely on for freedom and comfort. And money is something you use to live in luxury. And so that defines a whole lot, how you'll work, how you'll save, how you'll spend everything. So a couple other fun conversations would be like, when you were a kid, what was your absolute dream job? And what did you expect to make? Like when you were a kid, what was the goal?
I literally wanted to be an entrepreneur. Wow. I wanted to start a company.
That's amazing, right? But with that conversation, I could be like, okay, when you were a kid, what kind of jobs did you want, et cetera, et cetera. I remember when I was at a bar with my buddy Hawk, we were hammered and we wrote, like, this was our focus. I was 20, 19 years old on this one wall. We wrote millionaires by 30. That was just our goal when we were 20. I don't know. But I think you could have these things are like, let's do one more. What's one thing you spend too much money on, but unless you go completely broke, you're going to keep spending it on that thing. What is that thing?
Clothes.
Okay.
Like I way too much money on, I have three closets. It's disturbing. It's right. Too much.
So like just in that conversation, we could have another half hour conversation. What kind of clothes? Where do you shop? You have two, you have little closet space. Where do you live? How, you know, how do you prioritize your home, et cetera? So I think we could start to actually introduce money with fun ways. And in the book, there's a 10 questions that you can start doing this with loved ones or if you're on a date.
I love that. Okay. So you're saying talk about it in more of a fun way.
I think
it's hard because it is such a stressor for so many people that maybe when you ask like one question, if it goes the other way, you'll be able to be like, okay, this is a sensitive topic for this person.
Yeah. I think
telling in itself.
Yeah. And I think when people get sensitive or like, if that doesn't work, the fun thing, like I think about this, if I want to talk to my parents about money, I could have fun with it, but once I start getting serious, they're going to get more tight-lipped. So then I think it becomes two things. One, vulnerability, show your cards, they'll show you yours. I always say like the love and money game is not a poker game, but the other thing I think is it's like talking, like get compassionate. So it's like, listen, this is morbid, but like mom, dad, like we all have an expiration. I'm going to die. We're going to like, that's going to happen. And then hopefully one day I'm fortunate enough to have kids and hopefully they could have kids and our legacies leave on. Like you guys have lived in six different cities. Dad, you have worked so hard in corporate America, just moving and moving and busting your ass. You're so fucking, no one is more diligent with my dad than spending. Mr. Frugal, but understands value. Like, what do you want with this? When you're gone, do you want to make sure like I create a little scholarship for hopefully one of my kids and we call it in your name? Like, do you want a bench in the park? Do you want it donated to Alzheimer's Association, which impacted your mother? Like, talk to me. Where do you, what is your story? What is your legacy? And I think like, even if you go into compassion, that can change the conversation because it's not about dollars and cents. It's not about me benchmarking you to what you have today or what you've earned. It's like, what do you want to do with your life's work? I think that's another alternative.
Yeah, that's a really great way of putting it, bringing empathy into the conversation for sure. Let's talk about first dates. I know we talked about how you bring up the conversation, maybe in a fun way. What about the nitty gritty here? Do you always pay for a first date, Jason?
I always do. It's just like my, I don't know. But I usually do that like on business things too. Like if I take someone out to lunch or breakfast or coffee, or it's a date, I don't know. I think it's the people pleaser.
Anyone listening, if you ever go out with Jason, he's paying. So
I'm paying. If we go out on a first date, I'm paying.
Okay. What about first dates? Like what are do's and don'ts in general? Not even money related. Are you going to dinner? Are you going to drinks? Are you going to coffee? Are you walking your dogs? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I learned the best tip, the best piece of advice I ever got was from Pilot Pete, because I was on your Rich BFF podcast to bring her up again. Pilot Pete came into the equation because he's in the dating game. And he always says in New York, it's too expensive to date. So he first takes them on a walk in one of the parks. And then if it works out, they'll do a drink after. But I think the best first date is a date where you guys can connect and quickly understand if there's some type of chemistry without over ties to commitment. You know, like I think going to a movie on a first date, terrible. I think going to a sporting event on a first date, terrible. Like you need a date where you can communicate, you can connect, but you're not obligated to stay there for like this extended period of time if the vibe's not right.
Yeah. You're stuck to like a huge dinner. You're like, oh my God, just our salads came out. It's definitely not going to work.
Your that salads come out and you don't even know like where to take the next conversation because it's like you're talking to a you're wall like, or vice versa. Yeah, just like yeah, how check. Do we exit? Have you ever left, let me ask you a question. Have you ever left a date in the middle of it that like just sucked?
Well, I had someone once ask me, and this takes a lot of emotional maturity and that's hard for me. I'm such a people pleaser, but he was like, do you see this going somewhere? Like, I've really enjoyed this. This has been awesome for me. Do you feel the same? And just like asked me directly. And it had been one of the worst dates I've ever been on in my entire life. And I just had to take the opportunity to be like, honestly, I don't think so, but this has been great. Thanks. Like maybe let's get the check and head out. We'll split it. Like, I don't know. But yeah, that was one moment where I was like, I can't, this is not, thank you for giving me the out. Honestly.
I love that. I have one more question and then I'll stop. As you know, you asked me, I'm curious as a woman being in San Francisco, you got all the tech bros, the finance bros. Do you expect that your dinner date is first paid for the first date? Or like, what's your take on that?
I think it's nice when chivalry is not dead. I like just the first date being paid for. Is that maybe too traditional? I don't know.
No.
I'm happy to see the bill always, but I think I just, I view a man who pays for the first date like a little more just like that. That's, I appreciate that gesture, you know?
I like the gesture of you being like,
from there on out. Like, I'm not saying you have to pay for my life and bankroll me, but just the first date, it would be nice.
I love that. And I think the thing too is like, even the gesture of being like, I would like to pay for this, and him being like, nope, I got it. I think there's something very healthy too there.
Totally. And like, I'm always going to like go for my purse and pretend, but like, it's nice.
It's the fake out. It's the fake out. Have you ever got caught in the fake out?
I have nothing in my purse but a lip gloss. I'm like, oh, let me see here. No wallet. Just expecting fully to be
paid. Have you ever got caught in a fake out?
No, never. No, I'm always ready with the Amex if needed.
No, but I'm saying, have you ever done the fake out move? Obviously the Amex is in there. I know you're being facetious, but you're doing the fake out move, assuming that he's going to be like, no, 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 I got you. But then he's like waiting and he's like, okay, let's go. First date.
Oh, split sure. It. Oh, for sure. Oh my God. Oh, in San Francisco. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Everyone's hustling out here. They're like, we're splitting it, please.
Wow,
yeah.
All right.
The paying for the first date is lost art.
Got it.
In many places.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but are you dating? Are you seeing anyone? I've seen some stuff online, some speculation.
What have you seen online?
I don't know. I've seen a little speculation about a certain content creator
that you might potentially be seeing. You content creators, you all know each other, especially the good ones, huh?
Especially the good ones. I mean, it's your podcast. It's yeah. Your area to kind of control the narrative if you want to say anything.
Yeah. You know, there's a little something going on. There's something going on.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. I'm trying to keep my dating life private. You know, I'm trying to keep it all private, but you know.
It's so hard when you're in the public eye. It's like everyone's so invested in your life that it's very hard to keep it private. But I respect that. I keep my personal life very, very personal. So, but if anything you want to share, if there are any rumors you want to squash or give truth to.
Here's what I'll tell you. I this whole world after a big breakup is quite terrifying, especially when like everything's been out there. And so I've been doing my damnedest to just try and keep things as private as I can. But I'll say this, if there's rumors to be squashed, I'll squash them. I don't have any rumors to squash at this point. So we'll see what the future holds.
Okay. Okay, let's talk more generally about dating for you as a person. Could you see a world where your relationship is not online or part of the public eye?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I think like the way I stand today, like today, and listen, I don't like absolutes because absolutes show that there's no form of growth, that there's no change of mind, and someone then holds you to an absolute. My therapist says absolutes are extremely toxic. I don't like the idea of absolutes, but like when I sit here right now, in podcast, I'm like, I don't know. I like privacy in the dating space. I think that once you open your life up to your dating world, you are immediately allowing so much toxicity to filter in. And that's okay. And that's been a big part of my life. However, if that foundation is not fucking rock solid, it could get really, really ugly super fast. So I'm hesitant to do it, but I do think one of the benefits that come with it is there's not always like the question. There's not always the, hey, where are you at with this? You know? So I don't know. Maybe at some point we'll see, but right now I'm just doing my thing. And when I'm ready to talk about it publicly, like I'll definitely do on this podcast. I'll definitely invite you back.
Okay. You better have me back on to ask all the questions. It can be the three of us.
Oh.
Okay. Shifting slightly, another just random question. Obviously, I know you initially from a dating show. Would you ever go back on a reality show or a competition show? This is a totally random question. I'm just curious.
I would go back. Yeah, for sure. I think like, you know, I don't know. The whole dating concept is terrifying. It's like kind of did it. I don't know. That's a whole different ball game, but it's like a challenge show because they're so prevalent now and they're doing really well. And I like the idea of blending other shows together. I would do the competition show in a second for sure. So there is one right now that I'm going through this process with, and it's legit. It's a good one. So we'll see what happens.
Can you
it's
share?
Still early on. I can't cause it's too early. I can't say anything. If I don't get it, I will definitely, at the second I find out if I get it or don't get it, I'll share a process everything. Process is pretty simple for all of them. Casting person reaches out, you submit some bullshit online form, you submit some bullshit pictures, you do a full interview, they take the interview, chop it up, present it to the network, and then say, like, does this person fit or not fit? Like, do we have that role filled or not filled? And so on. It's really simple.
Yeah. How much leverage do you have with negotiating rates on these shows? Cause I think what I've heard is, like, you, and you've talked about this with previous Bachelor, but like, you don't get paid that much, but now you're doing brand deals and you're making a ton of money there. Is it, you would just take the loss, or are they meeting you at your rates, or are you even getting paid if you do these things?
No, they're all paying, but it's all, your leverage is so limited unless you are, like, literally just the most demanded individual and your relevancy is, like, sky high and they're like, we need you for this show. There are so many people now. There's so many great creators and individuals in all different shows that could kill it. So you would have to have an incredible high demand to require so much. The other thing too is, like, you know that when you go on these shows, for the most part, it's going to drive all your other business. So to say no to it would be a little dumb, which is why I heard, and I don't want to speak for anyone, and maybe I shouldn't speak on this, but whatever, it is what it is. People are like, Maria and Daisy from The Bachelorette, someone said they declined the offer. Maybe they did. What I would say business-wise, if they declined that offer, that would be the dumbest business decision they could ever make. Now, I don't think they did. Maybe they did. Maybe there's other reasons. Maybe there's family and health and stuff. I'm talking strictly business. It would be the dumbest decision that Maria or Daisy can make if they decline the bachelor.
Really?
Oh, because
that person is always painted in a good light. But I was thinking about Daisy, for example. Like, she came out so on top that, like, why would she further jeopardize that with more, like, reality post-production things that she can't control when she has such control of her narrative right now?
Because the value of any brand, of any speaking of your event, any other TV show, any other appearance, access to other things, if you just put a laundry list of how the value is, if it's A or B, almost 90% of the time, A is going to be valued at a much higher regard, and A and B would be lead versus contestant. Almost 90%. I think you could think of a few people that were only contestants where their value is held at a higher regard than most leads. That happens. They're extenuating circumstances. But if you were the lead, the bachelor or the bachelorette of the franchise that's been in place for 20 something years, your likelihood of increased value goes up significantly, even with a bad edit, because today you have social media in which you could talk your way through it or explain your side of the story. So, and you, the value of those ABC cameras, and this is where I would speak to every single cast member that complains or rips and roars. Listen, we all have our gripes and grief, fair, but the value of those cameras in your face are astronomical.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. So you're talking about, like, value and all of this, like the doors it opens if you're potentially the lead on one of these reality dating shows, let's say. Let's talk about your kind of brand deals. And maybe you ask people all the time on Trading Secrets, what is the biggest brand deal you've ever done? Can you share with your listeners what the biggest brand deal you've ever done is?
Here's something I could tell you for sure. So last year, I'd have to double check the number, but I think it was around, it was like 1.3 million or so that we did on brand deals for my personal brand. And I think by June, for sure, we'll have surpassed that number this year. So this year has been the biggest year by a long shot. We might pass that number by end of April, honestly. So the start of this year has been huge. The book has helped, et cetera. I will say that one of the larger deals that I've ever done is this book tour with Capital One Cafe. They have been, like, the best partner I've ever worked with. They've given so much flexibility to creative while staying true to the brand. It's required a lot. You know, I've had to be in 8 cities, moving full speed, posting, letting everyone know every podcast or any type of media thing. I make sure people are aware. It's definitely required a lot. Maybe why I have a sty on my eye. They say stress and sleep, but it's been one of the best partnerships I have ever had, ever. So that's been a good one. And then shout out 2 other ones I just think about this year that have been just amazing partners are White Claw Zero, 0% White Claw.
And then, that one as well.
Yeah. So yeah, there we go. Business creator vibes. You're the comedy person. I'm a little more serious. You know, I wish I had that funny in me, but I don't. And then TurboTax Live. Cause both of those are, I think all three of those are credible products. Capital One Cafe is the coolest thing I've seen in the country. The TurboTax Live, incredible 24/7, like pretty much nights, weekends, you get an expert. And then White Claw Zero, I think, is a great tool if you're out a lot like I am. So yeah, those three are great.
Love it. Okay, great.
I'm going to have you on the podcast, but how's 2024 treating you? Just high level. Give me something.
It's been great. I think what I'm learning now is these probably much like your Capital One deal, but not just the brand deal, doing like a bundle or a basket of deliverables across platforms, across channels of come and speak and then do the tour in person and then do also a video and a story and talk about it on your podcast and just like expanding the basket of things you can offer to that. So then you can just kind of deepen the relationship and do honestly less brand deals total. But that's been an exciting learning. I've always known that, but this year really diving into that.
100%. That's the name of the game right there. You think, I have one last question, then you take back over. You think TikTok gets banned or no?
I think it's going to be acquired by a US-based company.
Okay.
What do you think? And they'll just move all the data warehouses here. Like, I think that's just the biggest issue.
I was certain. I was like, in my head, I was like 100% certain there's no chance it gets banned. And then I met someone on Saturday who like went through these insane analytics, breaking down all these reasons why it will get banned. And they told me that only 10% of their entire daily user base is 10% Americans. They're like, Americans using TikTok is so minuscule to the overall world population using TikTok.
Like, really?
They were saying, the guy's point was TikTok does not need United States. United States needs TikTok based on the economic input and just the overall entertainment factor of this country. So I mean, obviously this would take years to happen. I think at this point, we know at least like 21 plus months, but we'll see.
That's crazy. I have like a kind of hot take that I think obviously something else will come up that will replace it, but I think it would be overall net positive for our society to not have TikTok.
Interesting.
And that's crazy. It's crazy to say that as a content creator where 50% of my income is on TikTok.
Is on TikTok, yeah.
But I have seen the terrifying backlash of like cancel culture and all these things. And I just think it's the mob mentality scares me. And I think it doesn't exist on other platforms.
Interesting. Okay. That's a good take. That's a really good take. You know what? I'll tell you this. I was saying this to someone the other day, when I'm out and about, suppose the other day I was at a bar, someone wanted to get a picture. Tonight we'll be at the event. There might be a few pictures. I've noticed that whenever anybody wants a quick picture, they are always, always taking it on Snapchat. Always.
Always.
And I don't use Snapchat. Do you use Snapchat?
No, it's so strange.
That's like, what's going on? Yeah.
And it's like a worse quality camera, but it's like sometimes like a filter. You're like, oh, wow, I look okay. Yeah. I don't know who that is. It's not me.
Interesting. All right. There's our social media breakdown. What else you got for me?
There's our social media break. Okay. Let's talk about being single. What's an important takeaway for someone who's single or does not currently have a partner? Like, why should they buy the book?
Okay. So first and foremost, if you are single, this book is for you. These are 8 questions you must know about your personal financial profile. And then there's resources in each chapter of how to improve it, how to enhance it, and then how to journal through it. So you have a place to come back to look at where you were. I also give endorsements to all these products out there that are really, really helpful that I don't have ties to from an advertising perspective. So that's one. And then it does teach you, if you're in a relationship, how to have those conversations. The thing about people that are dealing with a breakup now or they're single is I think you get so bogged down, you get so worried and comparing yourself to others, you see other people's happiness. I'm going to tell you, I think some of the highest highs I've had in the last like 10 years were in the last, I don't know, 4 months when I was like the single life, when I was on that cruise in Monaco and Barcelona, you are as free as you will ever be in your entire life. One day, fuck, I'm like, people are chirping me like, oh, I don't have rules. My handcuffs are gone. Good. I don't care. And like, just the idea of, you're just like, think of like, one day I want kids. I want to have a family. I want to do that hopefully like very soon. But the idea is like, once you do that, you don't have a priority other than them and other than everything else. You, when you are single, are living in the most beautiful area of your life that your only focus should be you. And if you are not choosing you when you're single and you are getting so focused on everyone else and what they're doing and how they're doing and that you're behind, wake the hell up, because you have so much time to take care of yourself, which those other people don't. And the return on taking care of yourself is astronomical in all ways. So like, fucking live in it, enjoy it, do you. That's what I got to say.
Amen.
A lot of Jason, passion, I feel like behind you're that one.
A lot of passion. I feel like you're aging like a fine wine. I feel like you look better every year that passes, actually. So,
oh, wow.
Good for you.
Thank you. Minus the fucking two. Minus Billy the Bastard on my eye.
Minus Billy the Bastard. Okay, can we just do a rapid fire and we can take this out if we don't want it? Just
yes.
A quick rapid fire questions.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk real estate. You currently live in Nashville, correct?
Currently live in Nashville, yep.
Would you consider moving? And if so, where?
I would move in a second. I would go to New York would be my top pick. The only thing I love about Nashville is the no state income tax. That's great. But yeah, I would move in a second.
That helps. Okay. Yeah, would you buy nice. A place?
If I went to New York City, I think it would be too temporary to buy. If I went somewhere else, that was, if I can get good return on an investment vehicle and it made sense, I would buy. Yeah.
Okay. What was your worst purchase in the last month?
I went to St. Bart's. I spent a lot of fucking money in St. Bart's. Lot of money. St. Bart's is like the most expensive island I've ever gone to in my entire life. I will say I'm usually pretty frugal. So like when I'm spending that money, I'm like, ah, fuck. This time I was like, this is worth it. And that trip.
You're throwing bills. Yeah.
Just like if you take a piss in St. Bart's, it's literally like $200 to pee. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I spent over $10,000 on that trip and it was literally worth every dollar. It was amazing. It was great.
Incredible. $10,000 trip. Take me next time. What are you going to do when Evan has a baby?
I'm going to give him a little small window for people that don't know. Evan's my business partner. I think most of you guys do. He's going to have this little baby window where he could take care, do his thing, be it that. You good? But then like, it's going to be like, listen, you get to work from home. You don't have to travel anymore. You don't have to do anything. You could literally have that beautiful baby right next to you 24/7. I'm expecting the same output, if not more. And this is my pump up speech to him. I'm like, dude, that baby boy's looking up to you. That baby boy's going to be like, what does daddy do for work? How are daddy's businesses? You are now a leader, not only to the people that work for you, but to this baby boy that wants to grow up and be just like you. So finding new ways to motivate him. But of course I understand, take care of your wife, take care of your family first, but like also, we're still here. We're still moving. Don't forget about
us. Put your head down and get grinding. Okay, got it. Evan, I hope that was fun for you to hear, as I know you're on the line here. I recently unplugged for 24 hours in Bali. I put my phone away. Wow. I actually hit it. I did not want to see it. Have you ever done a phone cleanse? Or a tech cleanse?
I haven't done a phone or tech cleanse since The Bachelor, and fuck me, do I need one. So bad. So bad.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you or no?
Very hard. We're so addicted. I mean, we're chronically so online.
Hey, do you have this problem? Do you have this problem if you're on like a dinner date or like you're talking to someone you care about, or even if it's like with mom or dad, like, do you have the problem where your brain's like always moving? Like it's hard for you to like focus. Like I've been really trying to be like, I need to be more present, but it's so hard for me to shut my brain off. And I actually think it's because of like the internet and the phone.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll try to like go to dinners with friends and leave my phone at home. Like you have to be super intentional about it or you'll never change. It's like really bad. I totally agree. I have those moments all the time.
So hard. It's so hard. So it's something I'm working on.
Yeah. Okay. How much do you spend on a monthly basis on late night food? And what's your go-to order?
I order so much late night food. It's disgusting. It's my kryptonite. I'm going to probably say I probably spend over $1,000 a month on late night food for sure. And it's because most times I'm like working like an idiot and then like, oh, I have a drink or two with some friends. And then like late night food becomes my like, I try to eat healthy with late night food. I always fail. I'm like, oh, I'll get two subs from Subway. Like, no, I get like Taco Bell's a good one that gets me chicken wings. Never sweets. Good. It's always savory. It's always like Chick-fil-A is another one. Yeah. Outback. Not proud of this one. Outback Steakhouse. Like I rip Outback Steakhouse all the time.
Okay. Love it.
grilled chicken on the Barbie. Crush that. Yeah. Blooming onion in a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Late night food guy.
I'm here for it.
Everyone, listen up. Okay. What is the stop on your PR trip that you're most nervous or excited for on your tour?
The one I could tell you that I have, that I've been the most nervous for so far, was the Jennifer Hudson show for some reason. I don't know why. I was really nervous. Hindsight, my intuition was on point. Here's why. A little behind the scenes. I love her. She's amazing. She's a star. She is like, you see her and you're like, wow, taken aback. But we went on, and before, the producer was so good, and the producer's like, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this, and then we're going to play a game. It's called Spend or Save with Jason Tardik. We'll kick it to you and we'll go through each of them. First one will be make coffee at home versus go to like your local shop. And so my answer was supposed to be calculate, like, okay, it's a quarter to make at home on average. On average in America, a large cup of coffee at your local coffee shop is $4. Difference between that is $3.75. If you have 20 cups of coffee on a weekly basis, the difference in the price point over, you know, the entire year, you're talking about $4,000 in saving from a cup of coffee, making at home or going out. Like, that was my job.
So, but it's 4 months of late night food orders for you.
That's true. You know, think about it. So we get to that, like, everything's going great. And then we get to the point, Jennifer's like, we're going to play a game. Like, let's play a game. And I'm like, all right, let's play it. Let's play it. And she's like, okay, let's play. And I was like, Jennifer, kick it to me. Give it to me. And she's like, you have a game. So I just took over the host job. I was like, all right, spend or save with Jason Tardik. And I didn't like, I forgot what the number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is because I'm so focused on the numbers for each of them. I was like,
is there a screen? Like, what's happening? Like, how are you?
There was this little thing I saw on the coffee table. Yeah. And I was like, okay, get coffee at home versus, and so then for the second one, I figured, I don't know. I was like, okay, she's going to take over here. But then she did it. So I don't know if her instructions are wrong or my instructions were wrong. So I just like went through the whole list. I literally was like,
is this live? Is this live?
No, it's edited. So hopefully they taper it down. I think it actually, by the time this goes out, it'll go next week. So this is a little spoiler only for the Money Mafia. So you'll have to check and see if you could snipe it.
The Money Mafia. That's what you call the group. I love that.
That's the group right there. What's your group called? Okay. And actually Ross take this time to give plug everything you got going on.
Yes. I have a podcast I launched with corporate bro Ross Pomeranz called Demoted. We talk about like corporate confessions, raunchy hookups at sales kickoffs, and give a little bit of business advice here and there. We're trying to figure out what to call it. It's Demoted. We're like motorheads. Like what the hell do you guys want to be called? I don't really know. So
I got figuring one for out. You.
What is it?
Desk jockeys.
Desk jockeys. Okay. Desk I like jockeys. It. I'll run that by Ross. We'll
you know
see.
Where I got that from? I got that from a private equity guy who convinced me not to go into an analyst role. He's like, I could hire you and you could be a desk jockey all day for 14 hours a day. But based on what I've seen, I don't think that's your skill set. You don't want to be a desk jockey.
Wow. Okay. So kind of a negative connotation a bit. Money Mafia has kind of some power behind it.
Yeah, kind of.
We'll take it to the drawing board. Jason, this has been awesome. I hope your listeners learned a bunch about the book and you, and maybe a little bit about your personal life. I loved interviewing you. Thank you for having me on.
Natalie, it is always a pleasure. Guys, grab a copy of Talk Money to Me. Natalie, we're going to have you on again. Every time I'm here, we're only talk for a certain period of time. And I'm like, we could have talked for another 3 hours. So thank you for being here. Guys, go check out Corporate Natalie, one of the best content creators out there. Check out her podcast, Demoted. And then I'll wrap with this. Natalie, when is your book coming out?
Oh my gosh. We'll take that offline. I feel like I haven't lived my story arc yet. Maybe in a few years. We'll see.
Interesting. Last time we talked, you were single. What are you today?
Oh, I am not single, but.
Oh, wow. All right. Not single, but more to come.
Don't hold that mic and start asking me questions here. We're ending the podcast.
This is my forte right here. I'm just warming up. Unfortunately, I got to go do this live show in DC. Otherwise, I'd have many more questions about your money habits with your not single life. We'll have to bring you back. If you guys want Corporate Natalie back, give us 5 stars. Just put Corporate Natalie in the reviews. We'll know what you're talking about and make sure to give her a follow. Natalie, the pleasure is mine. Truly.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Always. Burn so bright, reaching up to the sky.
and it's open wide. Your electrified. The world becomes a fantasy, and you're more than you could ever be, 'cause you're dreaming with your eyes wide open, and you know you